Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Every Saturday, we help keep it running for you. If you have any issues with your car, your truck, your van, and you need to bring it in for service at your favorite shop or dealer, but you want to know what could be ailing before you walk in that door, you can give Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, ASC certified technician there, a call or a text this morning, as we do every week. We appreciate Nick's help. I know, Nick, good morning, by the way. Nick Stoffel.
Good morning, Denny.
I know our listeners do appreciate the help they get from you from Lloyd's Automotive every week. We do, too. Learn a lot every Saturday. And I promised our listeners who maybe we didn't get to answering some text questions from last week, and I grabbed those, and we can get those underway. But if you do have any question, car type, any kind of a car care question, keep in mind we always like to say let's hear from you sooner rather than later. Because our time goes by so quickly, Nick takes his leave about 7:45, making way for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. So, yeah, whatever your car care question, love to hear from you. It's either a text or a phone call. One number will get you either, 651-461-9226. Again, from last week, let's pick up on this, Nick. It's a question about a backup camera on a 2020 Acura RDX is not working. It appears like a paint smear, mostly green and pink. How is that an expensive repair, and how would you go about doing that?
Well, I would suspect if you're seeing something, maybe some sort of debris or contaminant got on that lens, maybe take a little bit of Windex and a rag and locate that camera, which sometimes is not as easy to find as you would think, but you find that little glass lens there and try to clean that off and see if that does the trick. If not, if there's something wrong with the camera itself, quite honestly, the only repair I've seen is replacement of the camera. They're not horribly expensive. However, gaining access to replace it might be a little time-consuming. So first try cleaning it, see if that gets it working properly again. If not, you'll have to go to your shop or dealership and consult with them, get an idea on the cost of replacement.
All right. I'm looking at a text that came in this morning, and we'll pick up on some ones from last week. Here is a 2019 Nissan Altima. With 47,000 miles on it, at what mileage, in fact, you and I were just talking about this, what mileage should I start thinking about a transmission oil change? Thanks very much. Let's talk about that. It seems to me what I've been reading, you correct me, are there a couple of different procedures with many vehicles as far as changing the transmission fluid?
The procedures have definitely evolved with the technology and the transmission assembly and fitment. Most commonly now, or vast majority of the time, it's a drain and fill, so it's not much different than your oil change. It's a drain plug that you remove the fluid from. The fill procedure is going to vary and be different based on the transmission design. look in your owner's manual, look online. There is a maintenance interval for that also. You know, it used to be, you know, maybe it's 30,000, 50,000. You know, they're all over the board. So, you know, read up on that. If it's been many years and you've never done it, it's probably a good idea just to get the fresh fluid, get any debris out of there. But it's changed. It used to pull a pan down. You'd replace the filter, reinstall the pan, and add the fluid. And those days are behind us. There's not many accessible filters in those transmissions. And my honest opinion is the drain and fill does a sufficient job. You know, we change the fluid on these vehicles at the maintenance interval. And, you know, to be honest, it doesn't seem like we do very many transmission repairs or replacements. So I would say follow that maintenance interval and you should be good to go.
I think I'm going to be visiting Lloyd's one of these days for my car. I think it's due. Again, our phone number is the same as the text number, 651-461-9226. Here I think is a good question from last week, and I know you get it from time to time. We talk about this on the show. This listener said, I've been a customer of Lloyd's Automotive for 20 years. Wow. I'm now moving to Florida, and I would be interested in your opinion on how to pick a good mechanic. They would prefer you know, shops versus dealerships. And they want to find one in Florida, and they want to make sure they pick the right choice. Well, whether you're getting transferred and you're moving to a new city, or maybe you just want to find a new shop, how do you go about doing that?
You know, when you get there, you talk to your neighbors, your coworkers, if you have any friends in the area. We are a AAA facility, like I mentioned here a few weeks back. We just reached our 25th year with that approval, so that's pretty awesome, to be honest. But you can go on their website. You can find a AAA-approved facility in your new neighborhood. You know, we're Napa Auto Care Center. You know, Napa is very prevalent in our community here, and a lot of the shops do utilize that association. So I would look on their website. You know, but it kind of goes back to, you know, just when you get there and you make friends and you have coworkers, see where they're going, you know. Another thing, ASC, as you always mentioned at the start of our show, Denny, we're a blue seal shop, meaning all of our technicians have a certain level of certifications, another good source. So, you know, you can look online, use those sources, ASC, you know, Napa Auto Care, AAA, and then ultimately it really comes to referrals. You know, we get most of our business from referrals because we try to do the right job the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to your neighbors, new neighbors maybe, and co-workers like you suggested. And yeah, because people need good repair shops, and they're out there, like Lloyd's. I'm looking at another text came in this morning. Antifreeze. Okay, this is a multi-question here. 2001 Lincoln Town Car, 312,000 miles. Wow. Barely has any warm air coming through the defrost vents and floor. Texture says, I've changed the blower motor and resistor, and both heater hoses are hot when the engine, I'm not sure what that means here. Anyway, I guess they want to know, as far as the mixture with the antifreeze, is that 50-50 with water?
It is 50-50. A lot of it's already pre-mixed. You can get the little suction cup that you pull the coolant into that, and it does a measurement, which is what we use. I doubt it's a coolant issue if you're not having heat. You know, the heater hoses are hot, so it's hot, right? You know, that's not a temperature, but if it's really hot to the touch, we know there's hot water getting in there. But it sounds like the fan is blowing, but we're getting lukewarm air. I think more something with one of those blend doors that we talk about from time to time. There's a flap in there that's going to control the temperature of the heat. So as you turn the knob from hot to cold, from, you know, summer air conditioning to winter heat, which we're into it now, there's a little door inside that's going to control that airflow to allow for the hot air to work its way through. So my suspicion is something with that isn't working properly, whether it's the flap itself, the motor that controls it, or even the switch that tells it what to do. So I'd probably seek some advice there, especially as temperatures get colder. You're going to want to have good heat in that vehicle.
Okay. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Nick Lee calling in from Zimmerman, Minnesota. Lee, good morning. What is your question for Nick?
Yes, Nick. This is going to be a weird one for you, but I've got a 1998 Chevy Cavalier. It was my father-in-law's car. He's come up here in the wintertime once in a while, but anyway, I've got possession of the car now. And when it gets below freezing, 32, 34 degrees, The car will turn over but won't start. Anytime it's warm, summertime starts right up. It has nothing to do with gas. I do know it has something to do with the ignition and the millivolts that go to the ECM. So why when it, and it will start as long as you leave the ignition on and let it sit for 20 minutes, the car will start right up. So what's the deal?
It's a great question. You know, quite honestly, we would just get the voltmeter out. It's a 98, so it is OBD2. We try to read some data. Something's, you know, the thermal curve, you know, things get hot or cold, they can flex and change. Obviously, when something's getting cold and it's contracting, we're losing connection. Leaving it on is allowing the current to flow through whatever it is to warm it up to get it working again. You know, ignition module, you mentioned ECM. You know, it kind of comes down to it's not starting. We got to figure out where we're losing power and ground, or power or ground, I should say. So there's a pinpoint there, and it's going to be a bit of a project. You know, we're talking wiring schematics laid out on the table, and, you know, and of course, after 20 minutes, it's going to fire up, so you'll get a very short time, and it's going to maybe take several different attempts also. But at some point, we're losing power to something, and that's the key. You know, so we start very basic. Do we have injector pulse? Do we have spark? We don't have one of them, it's not starting. And then we move back, okay, so if it's on the fuel side, injector pulse, is the fuel pump, is the fuel pressure, and then we keep working our way backwards until we get to a part where we can get in that wiring diagram and figure why it's cutting out. Same thing on the spark side. Are the coils firing? You know, do we have a primary signal to the coils, the ignition module? And you kind of work your way back through the wiring diagram to figure out at what point are we losing that power and ground, so we're losing the signal. And for whatever reason, it needs to cycle through and warm up after 20 minutes, and it fires up. So there's something that's just not happy when it's cold. It's contracting. We're getting a poor contact and connection. I honestly wouldn't start throwing parts at it, because what happens there is you could create a secondary problem. Now you've solved the first problem and have a second problem. So I would spend the time to figure out the root cause and then move forward from there. No easy button on that one for sure.
All right. Nick, we need to take a quick break. Let's invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. 651-461-9226. We'll be back with more here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our car care show. We are here thanks to Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive, answering those questions every week for us here on CCO. I'm looking at a text from last week, and then I think we should be caught up, Nick, and we'll pick up on what's coming in today. And this, I know there are variables here, and things are more expensive these days everywhere. My daughter texted, says, just bought a brand new 2026 Kia Sportage, or as I used to say, Sportage. My husband Googled oil change cost, said it would cost $200. That seems high. Do you know what it should cost to change the oil? Well, obviously, over the years, that thing, that price has really changed for a lot of reasons. But I don't know. To me, 200 seems a little high.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say most, vast majority of the vehicles are not going to be that. You know, an older vehicle, semi-synthetic type oil, which is, you know, out there, a good quality filter, depending on the quantity of oil, which is the biggest thing. Does your car hold 4 quarts or 8 quarts? So I'm going to give you on the low end, it's $50 on some vehicles. $80 has probably become much more common. And some of those higher capacities are probably a little over $100. Some of the higher-end vehicles, the filters cost more. You could be reaching, you know, some, you know, up $125, $130. So there's, unfortunately, probably a $100 range on most vehicles, to be honest. But it really kind of comes down to what oil is for the vehicle, the filter cost, and the quantity of oil. You know, some of these oils are can be up towards $10 a quart. And if you have 8 or 9 quarts of oil in there, it's, you know, $80 or $90 right there. So it's a bit over the board, but once you kind of get that established on your vehicle, it's probably going to stay the same throughout the life within a few dollars.
Very good. Looking at a text, Nick. Good morning. It says 2011 RX350 Lexus. I would like to add a retro kit that would give me cross-traffic alert, pedestrian alert, front and rear blind spot where the cars are coming up on my backside. Do you know such a unit, a retro, and are there installers that do this?
No, we've had that question before, and I honestly think that they're so intertwined with the vehicle, the wiring, they're mounted in the bumper, And when they're the engineers that design these for these specific vehicles is very finite. Like it's the precision's gonna be right on, you know, and to do an add-on is not gonna give you the same result. So I don't know if it's out there, and I would definitely pause before I would look, you know, look at something like that, because you're not gonna have the same same capacity or capabilities.
Okay. Here's an interesting text that just came in. Can you explain how the Carfax system gets its data? I recently purchased a used car, was surprised at the amount of routine maintenance data the Carfax system had. Are repair shops required to submit the data on cars they service, or is it voluntary? All these other questions. Are repair shops compensated for providing the information? Are car owners given the option on whether or not their car's data is submitted to Carfax? It was valuable information. Maybe you can pick up on one or two of those questions, though, about the Carfax system.
It's a great question. I'm sensitive to people's information also, so therefore we don't participate in that. And there are different organizations where you can. I don't believe anybody's compensated for that, to be honest. I really don't know, because I'm very sensitive to people's information, you know, the way the world is. And I understand it's very helpful and useful when you're going to buy a used vehicle that, you know, they have this Carfax with all this maintenance that has been performed. But also people should have records for their repairs on their vehicle, too. So I see both sides of it. I don't think necessarily a bad thing. It's just not something I'm willing to participate in at this point, because I just feel it's your information, it's your history, your maintenance. It's yours to do as you please with it. It's not mine to go out and share with everyone.
That's kind of your version of the HIPAA.
I guess so. HIPAA for the car.
There you go. 651-461-9226. That's our phone number. It's also our text number. Yeah, maybe you want to call and chat with Nick. That'd be good. Or just send a text if you prefer. 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, Nick will be with us till just about 7:45. So if you think of something, give us a shout right away. 2016 Kia Sorento won't shift into gear, stays stuck in park. We used a small screwdriver to push down in the opening next to the shift handle, and that worked to get the car into drive. What causes this to happen, and what's the repair?
My off the cuff, my first suspicion is something with the brake switch is not telling the vehicle to release the shifter. So by design, you can't just yank the shifter out of park into a gear, because if you accidentally or somebody accidentally grabbed the shift, their car would be rolling down the road. So you have to have a safety pipe depressing the brake pedal, tells the solenoid to release, therefore you can shift it. So if that's not working, the other concern could be too, because I mentioned the brake pedal and that switch, are the brake lights working? So have somebody check on that, you know, have a second person go behind the vehicle, obviously you depress the pedal, brake lights come on, okay, you still have that part of the switch operating, but the shift interlock is not. So and if the brake lights are not working, well, then you need to have that vehicle towed in somewhere, because you don't want to be driving and have somebody run into the back of you. So it happens. It's not that uncommon. Probably not horribly expensive. Likely the switch is located kind of down by where your feet are, up under the dashboard there. But I would have that looked at before you end up with no brake lights and or struck where you can't get it out of gear.
We have started to, and naturally so, getting questions about, I don't have heat on the passenger side, I don't have heat, or it's just blowing a cool. Is there a typical, what would you say is the most common problem when people come into Lloyd's and say, I don't get as much heat as I used to, or whatever the question is. So it's heat related.
So my best advice to people is document exactly what's happening. People come in and say, I have no heat. And then you say, okay, is it blowing air? Is it blowing cold air? No. Or is it not blowing at all? Because really there's two different main air areas. Like it's not blowing any air at all. Because, you know, through the fall, we may not use the air conditioning or the heater, and something happens. You get into a morning like tomorrow morning, which can be in the 20s, and you turn that heater on, it's not working. That's going to be a little cumbersome. The other thing you can share on the blower side, so it's blowing or it's not blowing, try the different settings, you know, low, medium, high. You might find that only works on high and not on the lower settings. And that could be something related to the resistor that controls the blower motor. So that's kind of the blower side of things. If it's poor heat or poor heat on one side or the other, or it's poor heat where it takes a really long time to heat up, or it's a poor heat situation where it seems fine, but once I hit the highway and start going, it seems to cool down. Those are all scenarios that we see, and any of that information you can share with the repair shop when you make the appointment or drop the vehicle off will streamline them, figure out what's going on. Because all those scenarios I just shared with you are different problems. It's a thermostat. It's a blend door. It's a water valve. It's the blower. It's the resistor. There's, you know, 5, 6, 8 components that could all have an effect on that heating system, and it can take a little time to figure that out. So write down exactly what isn't working, the scenario where that happens, and share that when you make that appointment, because it'll be very helpful and get to the bottom of that problem faster for you.
You're right, Nick. We've said it often. The more information you can give to the shop, the better, and the quicker they can get it done, or at least do the detective work. All right, let's take a quick break for that forecast. We'll be back with more. Keep in mind that Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45, so call us or text us with any kind of a car care question you may have this morning at 651-461-9226. Let's get the weather here. News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Thanks to Nick Stoffel of Lloyd's Automotive. We are here every Saturday in the right after the 7 o'clock news break. And, Nick, I wanted to ask you, as usual, for folks that need the help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir, and absolutely. If you have a question, need some advice before you take in or make your appointment, we will help you without a doubt. So you can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand Avenue, the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And if you need a little more information, you can check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Recommendation, thumbs up, thumbs down. Texter has a 2019 Titan V8. They are recommending front and rear differential service, transfer case service, and transmission fluid service. Mostly road miles on this. Do you think it's necessary?
I do think following the maintenance schedule is necessary. That being said, it's a guideline. You know, depending on your driving habits and conditions, might be a little bit sooner, a little bit later. But the nice thing about the maintenance interval, it's always there. If you follow it and do it, you can forget about it. You know, it's been done. If you're going to try to change it or adjust it to your driving styles, you got to remember to do it when outside of that schedule. So it's probably just the easiest to do that. You know, we always know to change the oil, and then we think, oh, differentials, do I have to do it? Yes, you need to do it. Transmission, yes, you need to do that. You know, the coolant. I mean, all these fluids, every fluid on the vehicle has a maintenance schedule that needs to be followed. Sometimes, like I said, we might recommend doing it outside of that based on a reason. You know, it might be a certain fluid that looks pretty used and abused, and we're going to recommend that a little bit ahead of the schedule to keep things working properly. So if you have a good working relationship with your shop, they're making those recommendations. It should be based on some findings or something they can tell you or show you. So I would maybe ask a follow-up question with them, but likely, yes, I would perform those services.
Very good. Texter has a 2004 Honda CR-V, 140,000 miles on it. 2 weeks ago, they say, I loaded a heavy piece of furniture into it, and upon starting the car, a dash light, quote, maintenance required, flashed a few times. Now the dash light now flashes a few times every time I start the car. What does this mean?
It's nothing related to putting the furniture in there. Coincidental. But you hit a certain timeline, a certain mileage, and the vehicle identifies that and saying, hey, we're due for one of those maintenance items. So you can contact your shop or your dealership, get it on their schedule, say, I got a maintenance light on, you bring the vehicle in. They can look to see if there's any information within the vehicle itself. They can look at the maintenance records if you've taken it to that place for a while. And they can also check the maintenance schedule and give you recommendations based on what they've learned.
Well, we want this problem solved right away.
It's a radio one.
Yeah, it is. It's a 2022 Subaru Outback. Sometimes when both the navigation system and the radio are on, suddenly a noise, a screech occurs, and then the radio stops working. What's happening that the radio stops working, and what can be done about it? I want to be able to listen to WCC when using my navigation system. We do, too.
Absolutely, and there is an app you can download, so you're not without. You know, so you can still listen to us. With radios, you know, years and years ago, Denny, there used to be some backfeeding, but that's in the rearview mirror. That's not something that can happen really anymore. That being said, typically the nav, the radio, that whole unit is one unit. The fact that something's screeching and cutting out makes me wonder, is the amplifier on that unit giving out? You can definitely take it in if there's any separate components that input to it. We want to check those. The antenna, if an amplifier is external, any of those things that are external, we want to make sure that they're working properly. But ultimately, you might find out that unit itself is bad, and it's replaced as a complete assembly.
A listener wanted to know your opinion on as far as wiper blades, silicone versus rubber. Do you have any thoughts on either?
You know, I suspect the silicone ones are a little more expensive and they likely last a little bit longer. But my biggest opinion is that you need to replace them. It's one of those things that people say, oh, no, they're fine. And then I've said this in the past on the show. I always joke like, well, I'll give you the passenger side one for free, but you have to pay double for the driver's side one when you come back. So you put one on the right side and they can see clearly out that side. And then you realize how bad, because you don't. It's one of those slow things. It's kind of like our eyes as we get older. You need cheaters, right? Well, wipers need to be replaced. And if you look it up online, they're going to say it's annually. You know, depending on your driving habits, maybe it's every other year. But they need to be replaced more often than we do. And as they do deteriorate, they can start to wear into the glass a little bit, which you cannot undo that. So if you get any kind of scratching or imperfections in that glass, that's permanent. So I think a couple wiper blades to prevent that. And number two, keep you seeing well while you're driving, especially at night in the wet conditions, is well worth the price.
Gee, I have no idea what you're talking about eyes. There's nothing like that. But it's true. You said it exactly. I've done that very thing. I thought, well, I don't need that. And I did replace one blade one time, and it did make a difference. But fortunately, I didn't have to pay double for the other one. All right, here is a text. We do have time. I purchased, text that says, a 2021 4Runner, and heated seats no longer work. Who can I call to fix that? You guys have worked on those.
We can and do. The first thing we're going to check is the fuse. We're going to check the switch. But ultimately, what we've learned is if something got spilt on the seat at some point in time, gets into that little wiring element in the base of the seat or the back of the seat, it can often short out and make it not work. So be careful if you have heated seats, not to have any liquids that are spilt. And if they are spilt, wipe them up immediately. You can replace the pads, but people oftentimes that find it's quite expensive. You know, disassembling a seat to do that is maybe not often worth the cost of that luxury. So, but it can be a switch, it can be a fuse. It doesn't have to be necessarily worst case scenario. So at least have it assessed, figure out what's going on, get a real price, then you can determine if that extra add on is worth it to you.
All right, I think, yeah, so another one just came in. Let's see. My window, texture says, squishes when closing. I use silicone on the frame. It works for a little while, but it comes back. What can I do? I'm not sure how a window squishes. What are they saying, you think?
I suspect there's some debris in the window channel, yeah, and then you lubricate it so it softens it up, and then it sounds good again. You know, maybe you got to clean that out, you know, very carefully. Take a rag, some Windex or some gentle detergent and try to get into that window channel, clean that out, see what's in there. Maybe a little bit of compressed air. I don't want to be going crazy and wild and forcing a bunch of air or water somewhere because you don't want to short something out that's in that door. But there's some debris that's kind of made its way in there. You need to kind of find a way to clear it out.
You know, we talked earlier about heat and the lack of heat in the wintertime. And I was thinking about, because I was parked under a tree, and all these leaves had gathered in that little trough beneath the windshield wipers. Should those be cleaned? I'm thinking, you know, as we head into the heating season, which we're at now, should that be cleaned? I try to keep that clean myself, but that's where the air comes in, right?
That is correct. So at the base of your windshield, in that, as you call that trough, is it most often the air intake for your heating and cooling, our air conditioning heater system, and that debris, which the cabin filter will catch if it makes its way in. But, you know, in these months when it's wet, you know, that debris starts to break down and kind of get that musty smell. So if you have a musty smell, likely it could be that could be the source. It could also restrict airflow, which can affect your heating, especially in winter months. So we don't want that stuff frozen in place. We don't want that stuff breaking down and decomposing. So it's just a matter of cleaning it out. And when they replace your cabin filter, if they mention there's a significant amount of debris in there, they're going to have to clean that out also. And to minimize that, keep that area clean at the base of the windshield. Sometimes you might have to open the hood, and where the hood comes to the vehicle, there's another area there you'll see where stuff collects. It takes 2 seconds to just take it out, wipe it out, and throw it away.
Well, you know what I do, and I know I'm a little obsessive compulsive. Every so often, not, you know, maybe once a year, twice a year, I'll do that very thing, and then I will not only throw it out by hand, but I will take a brush and vacuum with my shop vac. Because some of that stuff gets in those screens, right?
Absolutely, and that will affect the airflow, and you don't want that, you know, especially on those harsh, cold winter days. You need to have all that airflow to give you good heat. And I'm very serious about the decomposing and that musty smell. That's absolutely one of the main causes of that. It's easily prevented. And you said, open your hood, look there, you see it. You know, this time you see all those leaves, take it out, wipe it out, even take the shop back, vacuum it up, and it'll keep you and your car happy.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be happy if you come back again next week. But in the meantime, Nick, how do we find Lloyd's Automotive?
Absolutely. If you have a question, as always, don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you need our help and you're in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand Avenue, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. And finally, please do check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
See your guys on Tuesday, Nick, and we'll talk next Saturday.
Thank you, Denny.
Very good. Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.